Begin the current daf, the Shabbos daf Kuf Mem Zayin. We begin on the bottom line of Kuf Mem Vav Mem Beis, where the Gemara begins a discussion about the malacha of Malaben, about whitening clothing, which is the malacha of laundering, which is Malaben, that's cleaning the garment. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, we continue on at the top of Kuf Mem Zayin Amar Alf, Hamanar Talisa, if someone shakes off his cloak, his talis, from dust, from earth that's on it, b'Shabbos on Shabbos, Chayev Chatas, he's liable for Karmel Chatas, because that is the malacha of Malaben. One of the Lama says malachas of whitening the garment, that is what a person is doing when he's shaking off the earth that's on his cloak, he's whitening it by cleaning it off. The Gemara clarifies and gives three criteria that are necessary to be over and the Isser of Malaben by doing this thing about blowing off the dust, the dirt that's on top of his garment. First of all, we only said this regarding a new garment. But if it's an old one, then it doesn't bother us because it's not significant enough to clean it for him by blowing off the dust, and therefore that's not going to be considered malaben if it's an old garment. Second criteria, we only said it regarding a black garment, where there the dust is going to be ruining the look of the garment. As anyone knows, you have a black jacket and the little dandruff is going to be sticking out. So therefore, the person is very makpid, he's very particular about it. So therefore, if it's dark, then he's particular, and therefore that will be considered cleansing it, malabin it, whitening it by getting off the dust. But if it's white or red, then it doesn't make a difference to the person if there's a little dust, and then it doesn't show up that much anyway. And therefore, blowing off the dust will not be considered malabin. Criteria number three is Vuhudu Kapit Alayu. It's also that the person himself has to be particular about it, and that is he won't wear it until he blows it off. Those are the three criteria, again, that has to be new, that it has to be black, in other words, something that shows up on it, and those are that this individual has to be someone that it bothers him, and therefore for him it's considered malaben that he's whitening his garment. As the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this. Ula ikla Pumbadisa. Ula once went to Pumbadisa. Chazra abon the Kobanatsi glamai. So he saw there were the Talmudic scholars that were shaking off their garments from the dust that was on them. So Amakim Achalin Rabban Shabbat, he says, Rabbanon, these Talmudic Chum, they're being Machal Shabbos because their garments were black and they were shaking it off and they were new. So Amalahu Rabbi Huda, Huda said to Talmudic Chum, Nefuti le ba'api. Go ahead, shake it in front of his face. And why was he saying that? Anan loy kabdina midi. For us, it doesn't make a difference to us. We don't care if it has the dust in it or not. And therefore, for us, it's not significant enough for it to be considered malab. And therefore, even if we do go ahead and we want to shake it off now, for us, we are missing the third criteria of being makbid, of being particular, and therefore, there's no problem of malab. Similar story, the Gemara brings Abaye have a koi kamed Rav Yosef. Abaye was in front of Rav Yosef. Amalei havli kum sois. Rav Yosef told Abaye, give me my hat. So Chazoi diikatala aloi. So Abaye saw that there was some dew on top of Rav Yosef's hat. So he was hesitant to give him his hat because he would have to first shake off the dew that's on top of it, and he was concerned that that would be considered malaben. So Amalei nafit shadi. Rav Yosef told him, shake it, throw it off, and no problem about taking it off. Anan lo kabdina midi. We're not particular about it. I don't care how my clothing looks, and therefore, even if you want to shake it off for this instance, you don't want it on, there's no problem of it being considered malaben again because you're missing the third criteria of malaben, which requires it to be particular that you generally don't like it, let's say when you have the dandruff on your clothing, when you have the dust over there. Now the Gemara segues into a different topic, which Tosis says that because we had been speaking on the previous daf from the Mishnah regarding someone that his clothing got soaking wet on Shabbos when he was walking on the derech, now that type of person, when it gets sopping wet, that it's the type that he would fold it up and carry it on his shoulder. Therefore, we bring in this type of halacha because a person generally doesn't like wearing something that's very wet and rather he'd fold it up and carry it. That's why this halacha comes in over here. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar Yechanan. Hayotze betalas mukupeles muneches la'kaseifa b'Shabbos. Regarding someone that takes a cloak that's folded up, he's not wearing it, and it's folded up and it's placed on his shoulder on Shabbos. And that is after that he put it on his head, for example, let's say we wear our talis, put it over his head. Then he goes and he picks up the whole talis and now it's all on his shoulders. None of it is falling back on his back or is his front. Then Chayev Chatas is going to be liable for Chayev Chatas because that's not the way it's normally worn. A talis, a garment, a cloak, at least for sure the cloak type of a talis, is generally worn that it comes down on the person's back and it falls in the front and it comes on the side. Here where he takes it, picks it all the way up and just around his shoulders, that's going to be considered as if you're carrying it and it's not considered as if it's a malbush, as if you're wearing it. Tanya Hamach is similarly written in the Braisa. Regarding those people that are merchants, that they sell these garments, and if they go out with the clothing, these cloaks, folded up and on their shoulders on Shabbos, they're going to be chayav for a chatas again, because that's considered not wearing it, rather carrying. And the Braisa says it's not just for the garment sellers that it was said this halacha, it was said for every person that's considered as if he's carrying it. Rather, we pick them because that's how they generally go out. They just take it out to show it off and not really to wear it. And therefore, we pick them, but really any person that wears it that way is going to be chayav for itzah on Shabbos. Similarly, regarding a storekeeper that goes out with money that's tied onto his clothing, chayav chatas, he's liable for chatas. We didn't say this just for a storekeeper that's considered as if he's carrying. It's every person. So why do we pick a chemini? That's just the way the storekeepers go out. They have tied onto them their bundles of money. That's why we pick them. The Haratonin, and regarding the Ratonin, which is the name of their location, the Ratonis, Yoitzim b'sedarin shakasev, and they go out with a kerchief on their shoulders, and therefore that's the way they normally wear it, and therefore they could do that even on Shabbos. V'loi Raton b'lvaram, the Brice says, and really this heter is not just Ratonin, ela kalodim, rather to every person. Shadarkan shalaton, let's look at it, just that that's the normal way, the way they always do that, and that's why we picked them, and any person could wear the kerchief on his shoulder like that, and it's not a problem. So the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha. Amar Yehuda, Maisa b'Horkanis b'Noi Shav Elazar ben Horkanis. A story happened with Horkanis, the son of Elazar, the son of Horkanis. Sheyatze b'Sudash al Ksev b'Shabbos. He went out with a kerchief on his shoulder on Shabbos, which, as we just said before, from the Ratan, that that's mutter to do. Elishanima Kruchalei Betzbei. However, he did an added stringency that he had a thread wrapped around his finger from this kerchief, and the reason why he did it was because he wanted to make sure that it's not going to fall off of his shoulder. This was going to keep it like he's pulling it forward on his finger, that it just stay on his shoulder. When the matter of what his custom was came in front of the sages, Amr, they said, Afila ain nima kruchalei Betzbei. Even if there's no thread tied around his finger holding on this thing on top of his shoulder, the kerchief, it's still going to be mutter, as we said from Ratanan, that a person is allowed to wear a kerchief on the shoulder. It's not considered a masay. We're not concerned that it's going to fall down, that it's going to carry it. So halacha, the Gemara brings, Darash Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda, Mishmed Rav Chizda, halacha, ava pisha, inim akruchu lebetz boysa, but halacha is that it's mutter to wear the kerchief on one shoulder, even if there is no thread tied around his finger, the way Horkanis, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanis, had that chumrah, it's not a necessary chumrah. Gemara brings Ula ikla lebe Asi Barhini. Ula came once to the house of Asi Barhini, but even they asked him the following question. Ma'olasus marziv b'Shabbos. What is halacha? You allowed to make a gutter on Shabbos. So, and the Gemara is going to explain in a moment what exactly that means. So Amaluhu, he said to them, Hochi Amir Rebbe Lahi, this is what Rebbe Lahi said. Asulasus marziv b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a gutter on Shabbos. So the Gemara asked, my marziv, what does it mean making a gutter? Amir, obviously not making an actual gutter, because that's Isra making a kli and makabe patish. So Amr said what we meant was kise babliyasa. It means Babylonian pockets. And what that means is that their garments, they would be long garments, and they wanted to pick it up from the ground that it shouldn't be dragging, so they would fold it up towards upwards, and they would keep it up there with threads, like a stitching. That was like, it would make a certain like type of a pocket, almost like a gutter, and that would be an element of makabe patish, and that's similar to like a cuff, that they would cuff up their garments. That was called the Babylonian pockets. That would be making it almost like a gutter in some form of manner. That is also to do on Shabbos, again, because it's somewhat of a makabe patish of creating an eternal type of a keli that in this form of the garment. And that the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha. Rabbi Yirmiyahu have a Yosef Kamed Reb Zer. Amalei Hochimai, he was showing him with his clothing. He kept on folding over his garments this way and that way and asking, well, is this like a marziv? Is this like a gutter? And then he asked him another way, how about this way? So Amalei Asur, he said that's forbidden, as we said, because that's called tikkun mana. That you're fixing the garment, that's again a form of makabe patish, by completing the garment, by making it optimum in this way of folding it up, that it's not dragging the floor, that's forbidden. Then he said, Vahachama, how about this? Amalei Asur said, it's Asur. In other words, he kept on asking him, by folding it and doing this way, he wanted to know exactly what would fit in the criteria of marziv, of a gutter, that would be Asur to fold your garments on that way on Shabbos. So to categorize this, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Nokin Haiklol Biyatcha. You should get this general rule in your hand, and this will be your guiding light to know if this is included in the Isra of Marzava, making your clothing like a gutter or not. Kol Adayte Dilechnufe. Whatever that was your intention, that it should be gathered there. In other words, that it should always be like that, like a cuff, that you made it that it should always forever be folded that way. That is also, that's forbidden, because that's tikkun mana. You're fixing the garment. However, kol dehilas nois, whatever you're doing just to make yourself beautiful, at the moment, you're just folding it this way, that way, you're picking up your collar that way, that's shari, that's permitted, that's not considered fixing the garment, because you're just doing it this way, that way, to have a certain flavor when you're walking out that way, but you're not intending to change the garment permanently. As was the custom of Shisha, the son of Rav Idi, Misno Besadina Hava, he would make himself beautiful with his garment. In other words, when he would put on his cloak, he would fix it according to how he felt that day, and then he would straighten it. And as Rashi says, that's talking about during the weekday. In other words, that was his custom, that he would always fold it up. And therefore, he would even be able to do what he normally does during the weekday, even on Shabbos, because he's not changing the garment. He would put it right back. It's just that day he wanted to fold it this way, fold it that way. That's not changing the garment. That's not tikkun mana. That would be permitted to do on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara brings a different story related to this concept of kippah begadim, about folding garments. Ki asra avdimi amar, when avdimi came, he said the following thing. It says, Pamachas yotze Rebbe l'sa, the one time Rebbe went out to the field, and there were the two sides of his cloak, the right side and the left side, that they were standing there, they were being held up on his shoulder. In other words, they didn't fall down. He picked them up on his shoulder. So Amla Hafan of Yeshu ben Ziris, or Yeshu ben Ziris said to Rebbe, who is the Ben Cham of Shemaya, that was the son of the father-in-law of Remeya, in other words, his brother-in-law, says, Bezulei chai Remeya chatas, what you're doing, Remeya did not make a person liable for a chiv chatas. In other words, what he was telling, tell him, that's not the way of wearing a garment, that's called carrying it. That's a masli. Generally, a cloak is hanging on the person. If you're taking your jacket or whatever it is and folding it up and it's on your shoulders, that's carrying it, not wearing it. So Amalei, so Rebbe said to him, Diktik Remeya adkan, was Remeya so particular up until such a degree? In other words, he would make a person liable for something that seems to be very mutter, in the sense that here, the whole thing wasn't folded. It's not like he's carrying this garment. Rather, the back was hanging all the way back, and the front was hanging all the way front. It's just the sides were a little bit on his shoulder. For that, he would be considering that as if I'm carrying it. But in spite of the Rebbe's objection, Shulshal Rebbe, Talisa Rebbe, let it down, his talis, he let it down on the sides, because he was mekabel the toichacha that he heard regarding this halacha, and although it was hanging in the back and the front, he let the sides hang down also. A different version of this story, Kiyasa Ravin, Amar Rabbi Ravin came, he said the story was, Lo Yeshu ben Ziris Hava. It wasn't Yeshu ben Ziris that told this to Rabbi, El Yeshu ben Kufusoyha, who was Chayson and Rabbi Kiva, he was the son-in-law of Rabbi Kiva. Amar, he had said, Bezulo Yichai Rabbi Kiva Chatas, my father-in-law Rabbi Kiva, he wouldn't make a person liable in such a case for a Chatas. In other words, you're carrying the sides of the talus. And in that version, Amalai Rebbe said to him, Dikti Rebbe Kiva Adkan, which Rebbe Kiva is so particular to consider this not wearing, but rather carrying. So Shulshal Rebbe Talisa's Rebbe let down his talus on the sides, so that it shouldn't be considered as if he was carrying his talus. A third version of this story the Gemara brings, Ki Asu Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Hudama, he said that it really wasn't a story that happened, Nishal Itmar. The version that we have was that Rebbe was asked, and that this story didn't really happen with Rebbe. Rather, they had asked Rebbe, what would be the halacha about to go out that way into the Rishus Rabbin? By having your talus in a regular way, but just folding it up on the sides, and Rebbe wanted to be matred and say that's permitted, until they told him in the name of Rebbe that Rebbe would hold, in that case you'd be liable for chatas, because he held that since, that Rebbe had held that since it's not really folded up, because the back is hanging all the way in the back and below his shoulders, and the front is all the way there, it's just a little bit on the sides that it's folded up, so he thought that would be considered a derech malbush, like you're really wearing it, it's just folding it a little bit, so that's why he would permit it, until they told him the name of Remeya, that would be us, and therefore he says, okay, if Remeya, or if the virgin Rebbe Kiva said that it's usser, so then let it be that way, I'm not going to make it mutter if they say that it's usser. Now we continue with the next mission that speaks about rechitza b'Shabbos, bathing on Shabbos. The mission begins. Haroichitz b'mei ma'aris, someone that bathes in the water of a cave. And that's a type of a pool of water, like a mikvah, that's covered and that's very hot, and the heat doesn't escape because it's in the cave. And Rashi says that necessarily it's talking about a hot bathe, cave water, and that's why it says a lashon b'di'evit that haroichitz b'mei ma'aris, someone that does bathe. In other words, after the fact that b'di'evit, because l'gitchila. It's asim drabanan, as we said, that's the issa, the gzeri they had made, that one is not allowed to bathe in warm water on Shabbos, besides chamei tveria. So here, if someone bathes after the fact in the cave water, again, which was forbidden midrabanan to do, then there's going to be a halacha that's applicable regarding the way he wipes himself up and cleans himself up afterwards. However, it's asa liketchila. And that's why it says only harech, someone that does it after the fact. Or b'mei tveria. Or if he bathes in the waters of Tveri, which are permitted, and then he dries himself up, he wipes himself up, even if it's with 10 towels, And that is, they'd have these certain cloths that they would wipe themselves with, and they would dry themselves one after the after another. And the chiddush is that although each one doesn't have so much water in it, because you're using 10 towels to wipe yourself up, so obviously each one's not going to be that wet. In spite of that, lo yavim biyadi, not allowed to bring those 10 towels with your hand home. And that is, the person, although, even if there's an Erev and there's no problem about caring, but the problem is, since you might forget, you might come to squeeze out the towel that's wet on Shabbos, which is going to be the Issa of Schita. Therefore, again, and the Chiddush is, even though they're not even so wet, still you're not allowed to carry it with your hand, because again, you might come to squeeze it out. However, Aval Asar ben Adam, regarding 10 people, since there's many people, they're going to remind each other not to do an Isser, Mistapkin Balun Tez Achas, they're allowed to even wipe, even with one towel. And that's a chiddush that way, that even though it's one towel for 10 people, that's definitely going to be very wet. Even so, it's going to be mutter for them to carry it with their hands. As the Mishnah says, they could wipe with one towel, pnei midim regleim, their face, their hands, and their feet. And really, it's lav dafka. It's really, they could wipe their whole entire body with it. It's just, that's customarily, generally 10 people don't wipe their whole entire body with the same towel. They would wipe their hands, their feet, and their hands. And they could carry it back with their hands, even though it's a very, very wet towel, because 10 people wipe themselves with the one towel. Still, because there's 10 people, they're going to see and remind each other not to go ahead and squeeze it out. There is going to be mutter, whereas by one person, even with 10 towels, each one's barely moist, it still will be usur, because you might come to squeeze it out. Now the Mishnah continues with other related halachas. Sachen, one is allowed to anoint himself with oil on Shabbos. Umimashmashin, and massage with his hand on the entire body for pleasure. Avaloimis amla, but one cannot massage vigorously. Valoimis garin, and one cannot scrape with a scraper on Shabbos, because that's considered uvdudachal. The way they would do it, they would take a scraper and scrape on the skin on Shabbos, during the weekday. Therefore, that cannot be done on Shabbos. A different halacha, in yordin lukredima. A person is not allowed to go down to the certain river called Kredima, and the Gemara is going to explain the reason why one cannot go down to the bottom of this river on Shabbos. Vein oisin afik tavizin. A person cannot do something, induce vomiting on Shabbos. Veima atzvin esakot. One cannot straighten out the bones of a child, that they would fix and straighten out the bones and the spine, the vertebrae of the spine, which would be the form of how the child is supposed to be. And the Gemara is going to explain the reason. What's the problem with doing that on Shabbos? And one cannot reset a broken bone, that regarding a bone that broke, any type of refuah, any type of healing, therapeutic activity on Shabbos is also because we might come to then grind herbs. So therefore, since this is therapeutic of healing the person, of setting the bone, that cannot be done on Shabbos. So regarding someone that had his hand or his foot that got dislocated, that is the bone came out of the joint, so what could he do? He's not allowed to massage it with cold items. But it could bathe in the normal form. Then if it gets healed again, you could do something that's customarily that normal people do, which is to be reichitz with cold water. However, you cannot do it with an intentful type of way, which is to massage it with cold with only someone that has this type of condition. And therefore, it's obvious for refuah that you can't do, but you could do it the way normal people do. And then if you get healed automatically by itself, by default, then that's mutter to be done. So now the Gemara infers from the first halacha of our Mishnah, that said that someone that bathes with the water from hot water from a cave, then we said halacha related to how what happens when they dry themselves off, what you could do with that towel, if it's one person or 10 people, how you could carry that towel back or not. However, the Gemara infers, Ketani meima ara dumi demetver. We said these two cases together, that we said regarding the water of a cave and the water of the chami tveria, of the hot waters of tveria. That is to tell you, ma me tveri chamin, just like the waters of Tveri are hot waters, af me mar chamin. Obviously, the hot waters that we're talking about over here from this cave are also hot. Now, it says the terminology of hareichetz, someone that bathes himself, which is after the matter of fact terminology, which tells you the evidence, like it's chaloi, that only after the fact that you went and you bathed in this hot water of the cave, then this is what you should do regarding when you wipe yourself off and regards to our concerns about being soichet, about squeezing out the towel or not. So that's only after the fact, but it's also l'ketchil to go ahead and bathe in hot water, as we know regarding the Isser v'chitza. However, mechlabo, what could be inferred, and we continue on Talmud Beis, is d'lishtativ kol gufoy, but to go ahead and shower your entire body, that is to pour the water on your body, which is not the way normally rechitza is done. Rechitza bathing is generally done that you go into the tub, into the pool of water. There is where we say, reichitz, that it's only after the fact what you should do, but like it's aser. But when you go ahead and you don't go into it, rather you pour the hot water on yourself when you're showering, I feel like it's chila shaper dummy, that would sound like that regarding these other hot waters, even like it's chila, it would be permitted. Now, the question of the Gemara is, Mani, who is this Tana that holds that you're allowed to shower with hot water on Shabbos? And that the Gemara says, the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Shimon Hi. The Tana is written in the Braisa, three Remachloikis regarding what type of a shower is permitted on Shabbos. As the Braisa says, Lo Yishtativ Odim Bein Mecham and Bein Mitzayin Divrei Meir. Meir says, one is not allowed to shower on Shabbos, whether with hot or with cold water. They're all awesome. Reb Shimon says you're allowed to shower both with hot and with cold, and therefore he's the Tana of our Mishnah who says that it's only us like a tchila to bathe in hot water by bathing in it, but showering with it would be mutter even like a tchila. Reb Yehuda says b'chaman asa b'tzayin mutter. He agrees to Reb Meir that showering with hot water is forbidden, but he agrees with Reb Shimon that cold water is permitted, and therefore again the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Shimon. The Gemara continues discussing our mission that said, "V'nistapik afila be'esar luntes." Regarding this person, even if he wiped himself, he dried himself up with 10 different towels, we said it's still forbidden for him to carry it back home with his hand because he might come to squeeze it out. Whereas the Sefer spoke about a case that 10 people, even with one towel, they're allowed to carry it back. Just the Gemara comments, "Reish Rebusa Kamashmalon." The first case is telling us a chiddush, "V'sefer Rebusa Kamashmalon," and the last case regarding the 10 people is telling us a different chiddush. Reisha of Uzkamashmon, the Chiddush of the Reisha, which was talking about the case of one person that wiped himself with 10 towels. The Chiddush is that Filahani Delay Nefishu Bumaya, that even these 10 towels, which don't have a lot of water in them, because we're talking about one person that wiped himself with 10 towels, still, Kivin the Chadhu, since he's only one person, Asr Deschidu, we're concerned that he might come to squeezing it out, and even when it's barely moist, it's still Asr. The Sefer of Uzkamashmon, and the Sefer, regarding the case of 10 people with one towel that they're permitted to carry back with their hand, that tells us a different chiddush, that afilahani, the nefishibumai, that even this one towel that is totally sopped, had 10 people that wiped themselves down with this one towel, still, even the rabbim nimnu mitkariadoti, since there are a lot of people, there are a majority, they're going to remind each other, they're going to see one person that it looks like he's going to squeeze it out, say, stop, you're not allowed to. Therefore, even if it's very, very wet, it's still permitted to carry it biyad. Now the Gemara says that in truth, this concept about the Isra that we find in our Mishnah of one person carrying with his hand this wet towel because we're concerned about schita is really a machloikis tanoim. As the Gemara brings tanoim within the Braisa, mistapik odem balun, does a person who wipe himself with a towel, umanicha bachalein, what he should do is he should put it by the window, and we're talking about the window that's close to the wall of the bathhouse. However, v'loyim serena lo lorion, he should not give it to the bathhouse attendant, and the reason is because they're suspect about that thing. In other words, they're suspect about squeezing it out. Since they're unscrupulous, that we're afraid they might do something that's improper, we're not allowed to give it to them because then they might be mechal Shabbos. So don't give it to them. Rather, put it by the window after you finish wiping yourself down. Reb Shimon says, "Mistapik ba'aluntes achas, you could wipe yourself with one towel." And even though it's one towel, umavi biyalutech beis, you could carry it with your hand to your house. And that is, Reb Shimon was not concerned about one coming to squeeze it out. So Amalei Abayla of Yosef, Hilchas Amai, what is Halacha? In our Mishnah, we find that a person is not allowed to carry it. And Reb Shimon says, you're allowed to. So Amalei, he says, HaReb Shimon, HaRebi, HaShmuel, HaReb Yochanan. You have these four different statements that all of them say that it's mutter to carry it on Shabbos, and therefore the Halacha is going to be that it's mutter, as the Gemara elaborates and demonstrates. Reb Shimon Hadamar, and that's the statement we just said before that he says you're allowed to carry it with your hand. Rebbe, the Tanya like learned the Brice, so Amir Rebbe. Rebbe said, "Kashayinu lemedim Torah etzel Reb Shimon b'Tekua." When we used to learn Torah by our Rebbe Reb Shimon in Tekua, "Hayinu ma'alin shemen valuntes." We used to bring the oil and the towels. In other words, when they would go to bathe, they would carry oil, which was used to anoint, and they would have the towels to wipe themselves down. They would carry it mechatzur lagag, from the courtyard to a roof, umigag lekarfav, and from a roof to an open enclosed area that wasn't enclosed for dwelling purposes, which does not have a din as a regular shusayachim. And the idea over here that we're talking about what their journey was from the courtyard to the roof, from the roof to the karpav, was that it goes according to the opinion of the Rebbe Reb Shimon. The Reb Shimon says in Masechtas Avin and Daft Ayin Dalad that both roofs and courtyards and kafifas, they're all considered one domain to be able to be carrying from one to the other, even if they're owned by many different people. He considers it as one type of an area which are permitted to carry one to the other. And therefore, they were able to take this journey, and it wasn't considered Haitzah on Shabbos. So they were used to carry the oil and the towel from where we were do it taking this type of a journey. Until we would get to the spring where we used to bathe on Shabbos. And therefore, what you see from there is that we would take for granted that they wouldn't leave their towel by the spring in the place where it's hefker and open where people might come to take it. So therefore, it's obvious from that story that Rebbe agrees to this idea that a person could take their used towels, which are wet, and carry back home with their hand and we're not concerned that they're going to squeeze it out. The third statement, Shmuel, the Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Mistapik Adam Baluntis, he says clearly that a person can wipe himself with a towel, Umaviyyadul Techbez, and he can bring with his hand into his house the same idea. And the fourth statement is Rabbi Yechanan, the Amr B'chibar Abba Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Halacha, the Halacha is Mistapik Adam Baluntis, a person can wipe himself with a towel, Umaviyyadul Techbez, and bring with his hand into his house. Again, we have four statements that say that it's permitted, and therefore he said the Halacha is like these four, not like our Mishnah, that it would be awesome. Now, the Gemara asks on this last statement of Rabbi Yechanan, Umiyam Rabbi Yechanan Hachid, did Rabbi Yechanan really say that one is allowed to go ahead and carry this wet towel on Shabbos? But Vaham Rabbi Yechanan says, Halachik Stam Mishnah. We know that Rabbi Yechanan always says that when there's a Stam Mishnah, a Mishnah that does not say who the author is, the Halacha follows that type of a Mishnah. But now we learn our Mishnah, which doesn't say a name, V'nistapik Afilah La Be'eser Baluntis, even if the person wipes up with 10 towels, that's barely moist, and still lo yivim biyadu, says you can't bring it with his hand. So how could he say you're allowed to? We're not a Mishnah who says stam, then saser. Now the Gemara says, Hahuka ben chachinoi masnila, that Rabbi Yechanan does give it, he attributes it to a certain Tana, and he says that that was ben chachinoi who said it, and therefore it wasn't the stam Mishnah, and that's why he doesn't have to paskin like that, and therefore he paskins like the rest, that it is permitted to go ahead and carry a wet towel on Shabbos, and we're not concerned you're going to squeeze it on Shabbos. Another statement from Omer B'chir bar Abba Omer B'Yechanan, the bathhouse attendants could bring these types of garments, that these cloths that were used by the women to dry themselves up with. They could bring it through their shusaram to the bathhouse, and that is because they could wear it. Therefore, it's not going to be said as if they're carrying it. They're wearing it in the way of wearing it, and therefore they could bring it that way to the bathhouse. However, as long as when they're wearing it, this towel or whatever it is that the women would use to dry themselves up, and therefore these bathhouse attendants had to bring it for the women to be able to use, as long as they're covering their head and the majority of the body with it, then we'll view it as a cloak of some sort, and therefore that's considered a lavush and not a masa, and therefore that's a permitted way to transport on Shabbos. Sechanisa, regarding a sechanisa, which is a large kerchief that was used to hang between one's shoulders, and his head would be covered with it. So that's permitted to be transported. However, tzorch lekasher beiz rishay lamata, you have to tie the two ends below. In other words, you have to tie the two ends one to the other that it doesn't fall off of one's head. So like a bonnet, you put it over your head and it's between the shoulders. As long as you tie it, that's a permitted way. So Amar B'chir bar Abba Amar B'yechanan qualifies it when it says lamata, that you have to tie it below. It means lamata michesfayim, below the shoulders. That's where it has to be tied. And then it's going to be mutter to carry it in Rosh Hashanah. On this topic, the Gemara brings Omer Rav Lebnei Mechuza, Ki Mavritu Mani Lebnei Chayla, when you go ahead and you bring the clothing to the soldiers, and that is they used to have the non-Jewish soldiers from the army that was incumbent upon the inhabitants to serve them, and they had to bring them on Shabbos clothing through their Shasarabim. So now you can't carry in Shasarabim, but they had to bring it to them, so they would wear it. So he says, Shavivu Behu Lamata Mechasvayim, you should let it hang below your shoulders. Again, the same concept, that it shouldn't be on your shoulders. Rather, it should be hanging a little bit below, that it should be seen like a lavush, like a garment, and that would be a permitted way to transport it and carry it through Rosh Hashanah. Gemara continues is discussing a Mishnah that said, Sachin umemashmashin, that a person is allowed to anoint himself with oil and massage the body on Shabbos. Taramban ulin the braisa. Sachin umemashmashin b'nei ma'ayim b'Shabbos. One is allowed to anoint and massage his stomach on Shabbos. As long as it doesn't do it exactly the way it's done during the weekday, again, that's a concern that we always have, which is called Ubdin Nechel. It's a hecha of it, so how can you do it? You do it in the reverse fashion, that sach v'achakach memashmash, first you anoint, and then you massage, because he holds it during the weekday, they would usually massage and then anoint. So in Shabbos, you do it in the reverse way, to do it differently than it's done during the weekday. Rabbi Yechanan Amar, he says, Sach umemashmash bevasachas, you anoint and massage at the same time. That's not how it's normally done, and that would be considered enough of a shinur to change it on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah said, although you're allowed to massage, avaloy misamlin, but you cannot rub vigorously. That's something that's asur to do on Shabbos. So Amar B'chir bar Abba Amar B'yechanan, related to this, asur lamed bekar ki asur shel dimosas. A person is not allowed to stand on the bottom of dimosas, which is a name of a river, which had very salty water. And the reason is twofold why you're not allowed to stand on the floor of this river. One is Meshma Me'elis, because it heats a person up. It has very strong currents, and therefore that would be go into the problem of Mis'amlin by heating a person up that way. And the second problem is Umarpe, and it heals a person because there the mud that's inside that river is very salty, and it has a very healing properties to it. And therefore, for those two reasons, a person cannot do that and go into the stand in this river on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says interestingly, Amar Yehuda Merav, Kol Yemei Shel Dumasis, all the days of this river Dumasis, that it has these healing properties, that we say that therefore you can't go into this river on Shabbos, is only Esrim Echayim, is only for a period of 21 days that it has these qualities. Va'atzeres min haminyan, Shavuos is from this count of the 21 days. To which the Gemara asks, Ibo Eluhu, Atzeres L'hai Gisa or L'hai Gisa? Regarding Shavuos, that we said it's from these 21 days, was it the beginning of the 21 days, or was it the end of the 21 days? So Tashma, the Gemara says, let's bring a Raya, Dama Shmuel, that Shmuel says, Kulu Shakyani, regarding all drinks, all beverages, Midivcha Va'adetzartim Ali, the best time to drink them is from Pesach till Shavuos. And therefore we see that Shavuos is at the end of these healing properties of these liquids. To which the Gemara says, no. Maybe there's no proof, because Dilma Hasam Hu Dikama Dikar Alma Ma'ali. Maybe there, the cooler the world is, the better it is. And therefore, that's an earlier period. In other words, Shavuos there is towards the end. And Pesach is towards the earlier part, because the earlier, the more closer to the winter, the colder the climate, the better the beverage is going to be for the person. Aval Hacha, but here by Diyumasis, Mishum Havlehu. To the contrary, it's not coldness that would help. Rather, it's the heat that has the healing properties. Kibin Necham Alma, since the world is hotter, Tvei Ma'ali would be better, and therefore makes sense to say that Shavuos is from the beginning, not from the end. And rather, we want to have that it's going to be later in the year, when it's going to be more towards the summertime, then it would sound like then it would be have a better quality, and there maybe Shavuos is not the end, as it is by drinking the beverages, where there the coldness might be better. Rather, here maybe Shavuos is from the beginning, because here the heat is better, because that's the whole point of the Yumasas, and therefore there's no Raya from that statement of Shmuel. Reb Chelbi says, Chamra de Prugisa. The wine of this location called Prugisa, which had very good wine, Umaya Dumasis, and this water of Dumasis, which we just said had this great qualities of healing, and it would heat up with the current, and it would have good minerals over there. Kipchua Seres HaShvat Miso. These two elements are what chopped away the 10 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. Because the 10 Shvatim, which were lost from Klal Yisrael, we don't have them anymore. They were what's called Bali Hana. They enjoyed pleasure, and they were very involved in these things, and they didn't learn Torah, and therefore they went off and they did things which were not proper because they were so indulgent in this good wine and in this good quality baths in the water of the Yumasas. Similarly, the Gemara brings Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch Ikla Hasam. One time Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, the great famous Tana, went there to Pergisa and to the Yumasas. Imshach Basrai, so he got pulled after this. It was very powerful physical pleasures after the wine and the bathing. Iyakar Talmudei, so his learning was ripped away from him. He forgot his Torah. So Kihada, when he came back after this extended vacation, also come Lemikri B'Sefer, he came and he got up to read from the Sefer. Boy Lemikri, he wanted to read from the Pasuk in Shemais that says, Achoydish Azelechem, that this month, the month of Nisan, is the month for you for Klal Yisrael. And Amr, instead he read it, Hacherish Hoyalibam, were their hearts silent, which has many levels of how what this actually comes across as that it was cheresh and there was his heart was stuffed up and it wasn't hearing. But the point is, he took the words achidus zelchem and he read it totally wrong. He couldn't learn Torah anymore. He was so far gone from the physical pleasures. Boy Rabban Rachmeles, so the Rabban, they davened for him. V'hadu Talmudei, and his learning was returned to him because he had forgotten it because of the physical pleasures. A Torah cannot be in the same body as one that's indulgent in the physical pleasures. One has to first daven, as Chazal say elsewhere, that before Torah should come in, that the physical pleasures should not enter. And the Gemara says, V'ayindetnan, this is what it says in the Mishnah Avos. Reb Noi says, have a goyle l'makam Torah, one should exile himself to a place of Torah. And that is, if you're a Talmud Chacham, don't sit only in a place where you're going to have your friend Talmid Chacham with you. Don't say that it's going to come after you. Don't say that my students will come to where I am and that's enough for me. Why should I have to go in exile to a place of Torah? And that's exactly what happened with Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who was a great Talmud Chacham. And that is, he said, you know, in a way, he was saying that let people come to where I am. That's not true. Shechaverecha yikaymu biyadcha, because your companions, your chaverim, they're the ones that's going to keep your learning in your hands. Because if you have them near you, when you're going to be learning one mesechta, they're going to be learning a different mesechta, and you're going to hear it, and it's going to be constantly reviewed by you, and therefore you're not going to forget it. And don't rely on your own wisdom to say, I'm a great Talmud Chacham. I'm going to remember my learning. When I'm reviewing this chapter or this Masechta, I'm not going to forget the other paragraph, the other Masechta I was learning. Don't rely on that. So we learned, Tana, Reb Neroi Shmai. His name wasn't Reb Neroi, Reb Nechemi Shmai. Bamilan, some say, Reb Elazar ben Arach Shmai. His name was Reb Elazar ben Arach. Again, because this is the same concept that happened to him, that he went to a faraway place and he wasn't around Talmud Chacham, and his learning was forgotten from him. Why was it called Reb Neroi? Because he enlightened the eyes of the Chacham with halacha. Again, either that's a reference to Reb Nechemia or to Reb Elazar ben Arach, but that's the concept we were talking about. A person should not go to places where he does not have his Chaveim, Talmid Chacham, with him, because then he's going to forget his learning. Then the Mishnah said, one cannot scrape with the scraper on Shabbos. That's a problem to do. So turn about and learn the Braisa. Ain gurin b'magreres b'Shabbos. One cannot scrape with a scraper on Shabbos. B'shem gamliel leimer. He says, however, im hayu raglav melechloches betit betzayah. If his legs were filthy with mud and with excrement, then gur kedarkoi ve'enachesh. Then you could scrape as you normally would, and you don't have to be concerned. That's not a problem. Rav Shmuel by Yehuda avdilei ime megarosa de kaspa. Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, his mother would make for him a silver scraper to be used exclusively for Shabbos, again, because that would take care of the problem of why it's us in the first place, of Ovdin the Chayil, because this is a weekday, mundane type of activity, and therefore, again, if it's to get rid of mud and excrement, we allow it to be done. And similarly, if you have one that's designated just for Shabbos, that's not Ovdin the Chayil, because this is the Shabbos scraper, and therefore it doesn't look like a weekday type of activity. Then the Mishnah said, "Ein yordin l'kordima v'chula." One is not allowed to go down to the Kordima River on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, "My time, but what's wrong?" Now the Gemara says, "Mishum pika," because it's slippery, and that is the mud from that river is very slippery, and therefore the clothing, when the person is going to slip in, his clothing are going to get sopping wet when he falls in, and therefore it might come to squeeze it out. Then we say, you can't go in that river because you're going to slip in, you're going to get wet, you're going to come to squeeze out your clothing, because who wants to be walking around with sopping wet pants and a shirt? And that's why we don't let you go there in the first place. The Mishnah also said, "Vein oisin afiktavizin b'Shabbos." One cannot induce vomiting on Shabbos. So the Gemara qualifies this and says, "Amar Rabbi Baruchan Amar Biyechnan Loishanu." We did not learn that this is us to do on Shabbos. Ela b'sam, only for one uses a potion, some type of a pill, which is similar to refuah, which is when you're using some external thing to heal yourself, which is the gzera of shchikas amon. Then you might come to grind herbs when you're taking pills, whatever it's for. You might come to take other herbs, which in those days they would have to grind to make it, which you're going to possibly oivan the isadir eis of teichen of grinding. Therefore, you can't take any external medicine, even to induce vomiting. But if one wants to use his hand, he takes his finger and sticks it down into his throat until he vomits, then muta, that's permitted to be done on Shabbos. However, the Gemara says, Tanya Reb Nechemia Omer, af b'choil aser. Truth is, even during the weekday, you cannot induce vomiting. And they have sereichlin because of the loss of food in his stomach, that causes him to become hungry again, then he goes back and eats again, and the person goes through this vicious cycle of eating and vomiting, even during the weekday, really, that's us. Not only on Shabbos, because of the loss of food and nutrients for the person, therefore, because of that loss to food, that's aser to be done even during the weekday. Then the Mishnah says, "Ve'im ma'atzer nesakot." The person is not allowed to straighten out the bones of a child in Shabbos. So, Amar Rabbi B'chanan Rabbi Yechanan, "Lapufe yinuka b'Shabbos." To wrap a child on Shabbos, as they would do for a child, that to keep his bones straight and that it shouldn't get crooked in the first place, shabbatam, that's permitted to be done in Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, "But not number." Learn not Mishnah im ma'atzer. You're not allowed to straighten out the bones. How could you wrap the child to keep his bones straight? And that the Gemara says, the difference is because Hasam Bechumri Shedra, they were talking about where the vertebrae of the spine had already been moved out of place. They're not aligned. And that's when after time, because on the day of the birth, Rashi says, the Gemara of Kof Chavtes on the base says, whatever is said in the Teichach of Yecheskel, you're allowed to do for a newborn on Shabbos, which is one of those things that I mentioned over there. But here we're talking about after time, where then it's misplaced, one of the vertebrae of the spine, that's what we say in our Mishnah of Ema Atzvin de Mechzi Kibayin. It looks like you're building the child by realigning him. But the hetter that we were talking about, that you let a wrap the child in Shabbos, that's too much to maintain his posture, maintain his vertebrae. That's permitted to do. It's only when it's out of place to put it back in, that would be also to be done on Shabbos.